Love Osho Podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho Podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Thanks for tuning in and being here. Today our guest is Krishna Prem, aka KP. KP is one of the very first Western Osho's disciples. We are going to talk about how to live life in a non-serious way, which is KP's speciality. KP, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm really good. So nice to talk to you again.
Tell us a bit about yourself and your background before meeting Osho.
Well, I was I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, in America, and I had a wonderful childhood that was disturbed by death. In the East, for example, in India, many children are brought up by their grandparents because their parents have to work, and they learn about death early because the grandparents die before the parents do usually. And in my situation, my parents died naturally, which at the very young age of 9, I looked in the mirror and said, my God, what is life about if I'm going to die anyway? So I had that unusual upbringing of not having parents, not having to say please and thank you, and kind of being on my own, just like my teacher Osho had the same experience. And there was something existential in that. But I carried on, and I had to take more care of myself. And I worked my way through college by being a hotel manager at night. Conversely, a friend of mine married a woman and their wedding present was a hotel and he was nervous and it was in London and he flew me over to manage the hotel. In England, it's so much more natural 40 years ago to meet many, many Indian friends at 2 a.m. because when you manage a hotel, that's when you get to eat. And I met many Indian friends and I fell in love with Indian food and it was just natural for me to go to India. Just because I liked the people. I had never heard of meditation except for the Beatles had just come from India. And I naturally just gravitated towards India, had no idea that Osho existed. And that's one of the reasons that I was the first one of the white friends, so to speak, that met Osho. There were already hundreds of thousands of Indian friends, but as the white kids hadn't started to come. What I mean is the Western kids. So there I am sitting in front of Osho at the age of 29 saying, oh my gosh, how come no one has ever heard of you? And that's how the movie began.
So you kind of were led to India from England. How did you end up in front of Osho? Because India is a huge country.
It's so interesting. I went to India and it's a wonderful story I won't get into, but just a great woman. In fact, we separated after we met Osho, but I just spoke to her after 45 years. She called me on the phone and it was so cute. And there we are in love in Bombay. And a young woman sat down with us over a cup of tea when we first arrived. And she was flirting with me. And my girlfriend got jealous. I got nervous. My girlfriend went to the bathroom and I said to the girl, why are you flirting with me in front of my girlfriend? What do you want? You know, because she was like a movie star and I'm just an ordinary guy. I never been flirted with in that way. And the cute thing is when my girlfriend came back, she said, I want to apologize. I'm not flirting. I just fell in love with a teacher named Osho and I want to tell you about him. And we were so relieved, you know, that just to be two ordinary people in love with a beautiful woman who wanted to tell us about a meditation, that we just got on a train and went to see Osho.
I've heard this before, that men are pulled to Osho because of women.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that Osho was attractive to women and their boyfriends would follow.
You were one of the very first Western person to come to Osho. What year was that? And how was to be with Osho in those days compared to the later days where many, many more people came to him?
My gosh, this was 1973. And Osho lived in one room in the desert outside of Mumbai. Bombay, as you might remember it. And I had to take a third class train to see him. There were thousands of Indians in that train. I don't know if anybody's been on an Indian train, but you cannot sit down. You can only stand up. And for 3 hours, I was just jumping up and down on this train, not because I was jumping up and down, but because the train was jumping up and down. It was a near-death experience. I got off the train and I had to rent a bullock cart. That's a bull and a cart. And the driver took me to see Osho. I parked the bullock cart and the driver and the bull next to Osho's one room. And then Osho was sleeping. I had to lay down on the ground and sleep until he woke up. Everybody's heard of his 96 Rolls Royces, but he had a rented Chevrolet at the time. He had nothing. I had nothing. But I knew it was a Rolls Royce moment. The moment I saw him, I said, my gosh, how? For me, it was so exciting. You know, when I say I ran a hotel in London, that means you drink at night. And I was by now an alcoholic. And as soon as I met Osho, he became my alcohol. Alcohol just left my being, and I knew I was in the right place at the right time. And I was all in love immediately because he had something that I look for in men. He had courage, and he had a feminine energy, which means he would never hurt me with his courage. He would only try and wake me up, and I immediately began to trust him. And he actually liked me too, which I couldn't believe. And we went on to have a love story where I was in his service, and I enjoyed being in his service. If you look at your life, you might say, if I did something for somebody else, I don't like it. I want to be myself. I want to be the boss. I want to be everything a man should be. But in my case, I knew I could never grow up unless I worked for him, that he was going to be a light unto me until I grew up and became a light unto myself. I don't know how to explain it, except I knew I was on the right path and I was ready to give up my life because it wasn't working, for working for him and becoming alive. I don't know how to explain it, but it was a great idea for me, and I was ready to do anything all day long just to be in his presence.
This is so beautiful to hear, and one of the reasons why I want to capture these testimonies exactly like yours now is because people associate Osho with the Rolls Royce and all the other rumors, but this for me is Osho. People who arrive to this man and they feel to just be with him and leave everything else behind, and there is something indescribable about the effect that this man had on people. So it's beautiful, and thanks for sharing that. I understand that you were one of the first to be sent to the West and open an Osho Center.
That's a fun story too. You know, you're bringing up memories that were delightful. Osho would breathe in and I would breathe out. I could see him whenever I wanted. Really, I was the only one around. And I knew the differences, that he was alive and I was still asleep, you know. And after about 10 minutes, Osho would look at his watch, which means he wanted me to leave. And even though I was dead spiritually, I was alive as a businessman, as a human being. You know, I was already alive. I just was sleepy spiritually. And when Osho would look at his watch, I would say, oh, that's great, Osho, because I need to get ready to pack for California. And he, when he heard the word California, he went crazy because he said, my people are in California. My people are in California. And then he would talk to me for another 20 minutes about California. And I was laughing to myself because I was not going to go to California. I just knew he thought California was it. And, you know, it happened, of course. I ended up in California, unbeknownst to myself, and with no money in my pocket, not one penny. The reason I say that is I spent every penny in India to be with him. And when I came home, I didn't have anything except I was aglow. And I don't know if anybody, you know, when you're in love with a woman, you know how good you look. But when you're in love with a spiritual teacher, you take on an aura of just beauty. And not only beauty, but I was actually onto something that no one else was onto, which is I am alone. I am vulnerable. I don't know shit. and I want to share it with you. And people saw me, believed me, loved me. And within 1 month of leaving Osho, I had bought a $500,000 property to start a meditation resort. That's a whole big story, but I can only tell you I had not one penny. And by the end of 1 month, I was worth $500,000. And I had a fantastic property in California for 200 people. And it was a huge success. And later on, when Osho came to America, I donated the property to him so he could be in America. I had, even though I had $500,000 now, I was the same person that had nothing. And that day, in that way, I was not materialistic, I was spiritualistic. I do want to say to the audience that I might not do the same thing today, but in those days, I did everything for Osho, and Osho did everything for me, by the way. It was a two-way street. I was blessed completely, and so was Osho. We had fun.
That's beautiful. And then, obviously, we need to have a private chat about how you raised the funds to open the center. That's
People were in love with me because I was with Osho. You know, it's unexplainable. But, of course, I didn't need $500,000. I needed $30,000 down payment. So it was very easy. People just shared whatever they had.
I know you personally, and we met back in 2014, 2015, when I was sent to Pune for work, believe it or not. That was a real cosmic joke. What are the chances? I remember the first thing I noticed about you is that you are completely non-serious. And I must confess that I just couldn't follow you. I remember talking to you and thinking, what's going on here? You always been like this, or being around Osho played a part in you being non-serious?
Oh, it's so beautiful, because one thing Osho said to me is, when I wake up in the morning, I'm laughing. I laugh all day long, and I put myself to sleep through laughter. And even when I'm sleeping, I'm chuckling, because he felt that life was funny. And what I mean by that is he was the ultimate witness. So for him, everything was a cosmic joke, because he couldn't believe how serious Krishna Prem and Swaram were taking life. He didn't find life serious at all. He found it a cyclone, and he was at the center of the cyclone, and he found everything alive and amusing. But he said to me, you only laugh when I say something funny. So he actually asked me to send him jokes so that he could practice jokes, because he said, I'm not the first Westerner that's coming here. So he learned to tell jokes, but he only told jokes so Swaram and Krishna Prem would laugh. But he was already laughing. He calls life a cosmic joke. And that's to be taken seriously, or I should say sincerely. It's a very difficult concept, because we're brought up to be miserable and serious. And meditation takes those two qualities, if you want to call them, away from you, where you become non-serious and delighted to be alive.
One of the things that attracted me to Osho was his jokes.
Is he good or what? You know, when I first started to teach him jokes, he couldn't even tell a joke. He was terrible. And this is good for your friends to hear, that Osho was willing to practice in front of me and you for years on end until he became the best comedian I know. But when he began, he never heard of a joke. He didn't even know what was funny or what wasn't funny. If I sent it to him, or many people began sending him jokes, then he thought they were funny, but he really didn't know at first. But he didn't mind practicing right in front of you. Now, how many times have you done something poorly and went out in public? He would tell a bad joke in public. If you didn't laugh, he'd say, oh, you didn't get it? He always thought it was my fault that I didn't laugh. But he practiced, and towards the end of his life, I've never seen anyone with better timing. But because Osho, by the way, if you didn't send jokes, he would get mad. He would say, I'm not going to come out and talk tonight unless you send me jokes. Not just me, all of us, you know. But I happened to take it seriously. I loved it.
Now, yeah. I used to be much more serious than I am now. So definitely being with Osho and meditating helped a lot. And it feels so much lighter, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, we always have to remember the word to be sincere, you know, to tell a joke usually is somebody lost, somebody slipped on a banana peel. That's not a joke that Osho would tell. He would tell the jokes that indicated life and indicated how serious we are and how we think we can change the world taking it seriously. And Osho said we can change the world by enjoying it.
So let's move on and talk about your activities. When we met in India, Chetan and I agreed to invite you to London to run a workshop. You call this not a workshop, but a play shop. So what's the difference between a workshop and a play shop?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at myself. The definition of work is effort. And the definition of play is effortless effort. I just took my 40 years of Osho and boiled it down to 4 hours, including the first joke I told Osho, the first joke that Osho told me, and including not being serious. But I must say that sometimes I even take my own work seriously. But what happened for me, Swaram, is I decided I wanted to be in the West again, that I'd spent too much time in India, and I was becoming almost crazy because I lost the balance between meditation and the marketplace. So I said, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to get a job. And when I went home, I realized the only job that I wanted to do was to teach meditation. So I created this play shop and I've been doing it for years and years. And I travel every single weekend. Like today, I'm in Amsterdam. Yesterday, I was in Portugal. Tomorrow, I'm going to America. Am I crazy? Yes. But if I just stayed in Boston, I would get one play shop a month. If I'm willing to travel, I get 4 play shops a month. And as crazy as that sounds, like now I'm in Amsterdam, everything is only 2 hours away. When I go to Boston, everything is only 3 hours away. So when I say I fly every weekend, I've learned to enjoy flying because I know I'm going to meet 25 to 30 new people. Sometimes I meet 100 people, and it's just exciting to share meditation. And I also get paid. It's a job. And I'm not rich anymore, but I have been rich, and the quality of my inner riches is so much greater than having been wealthy. I should suggest to the audience that I was born wealthy. By 9 years old, I knew that that money comes and goes as well as life. And I just decided to be myself. And it worked out. I'm not saying everybody should do what I do, but I just work weekends, but I network during the week for that weekend. So it's actually a pretty full-time job. And I love it. And then I just do it for 4 or 5 months a year. And then 6 or 7 months a year, I'm in India.
Okay. So for someone who might be interested in attending your play shop, can you tell us what happens during a play shop?
Basically, the big message is that, for example, in your case, you're 99% Italian, and Italy is 99% fabulous. But what's missing is that 1%, you know, and that 1% is Swaram. That 1% is Krishna Prem. So what I teach is that 1% is more valuable than the other 99%. And what I also teach is you can't throw away that 99% because you met your 1%. So you need to add meditation to the marketplace in order to be 100%. Once you're 100%, you can just disappear and enjoy and dance and laugh. See, what happens is the world says 99%, what do you need that other 1% for? Why are you so greedy? But what Osho would say is that 1% owns the other 99%. Without the 1%, you're just going to chase money, chase women, chase cars until you die. With the 1%, you're going to chase women, chase cars until you die, but you're going to enjoy yourself. There's a difference. Once you add that 1%, you added the witness to your foolish life, and that's when you have fun. So that's the cosmic joke. Without meditation, the marketplace is not worth it.
Okay, let's move on. You still live in Pune today after almost 30 years since Osho left the body. Millions of people have visited the resort since 1974, but millions more have not yet. What would you say to someone who is planning a visit? Why to visit the Osho Resort today?
When I mentioned that 1%, which is you, that 1% is in every single person that exists. That 1% is in every tree that's waving in the wind, you know? And so all I say to people is, can you hear your inner voice? Can you hear your longing to live? Can you hear your longing to dance? And Osho was into celebration. And so all of our meditations begin with celebration, so that when you meditate and you hit the wall, you're not so quite disappointed. So every day we dance, every day we sing, every day we meditate. And it's a miracle, because I'm not such a great dancer like someone that just went to a disco for every night for 6 years. But when I dance, I look more like me than when you dance, because you might be doing the latest dance instead of the latest you. It's not about more, it's about less. It's about stripping your personality away until you become an individual again. The Greeks said it best, your personality is just a mask. And all we do in Pune is take our masks off, take our clothing off, take our conditioning off, so that we're just a little in love with life. I'm thrilled every day when I meet a new person and I could see that their mask is breaking, you know, their personality is being destroyed. And of course that can be very painful, but with so many friends in a resort saying, congratulations, I can see you, you start to trust again.
Thank you. That was very beautifully put and very inviting.
Thank you.
So KP, you wrote a book called Gi You Are. What's the meaning of Gi You Are You?
Well, that's so cute. You know, G-E-E is an American word for wow. So wow, Swaram is Swaram. G-U-I-U, which means I went to India to meet a guru and I bumped into myself. So the title was terrible. It didn't work anywhere but in America. But so in all the other languages, Russian, Turkish, I can't remember all the languages, Hindi, it's called the cosmic joke, because people don't understand that, but it's an inquiry. But my book, it's so cute. The title was what didn't work, until you see G-U-I-U also spells the word guru. Then it gets a little cuter. But I made a mistake, and I like that. I like that. And I made such a big mistake that the book is actually sold out. So I'm reprinting now. So it's been a very interesting journey. So G, listener, you are you, listener. Wake up, enjoy, love.
Thank you for clarifying that. Where people can find you if they want to know more about you, your activities, or get in touch with you?
Well, I'm all over the place. You know, first of all, I'm officially single on Facebook. So you can look me up, Krishna Prem, two words, on Facebook. Or you can go to my website, which is absolutely full of wonderful stories about Osho and me, as well as dirty jokes that indicate meditation. And if, again, it's G-E-E, second word, Y-O-U, third word, A-R-E, fourth word, Y-O-U.com. And that's another example of East West. I was everywhere. Like, I had a story on the internet. I had a book on Amazon.com. And the Indian boy who's loved me forever, who came to India as a 15-year-old and left as a 50-year-old, took everything I've done and put it into one place.
Thank you, KP. And I will also link your website and Facebook page on the show notes.
So I really recommend it because it's fun.
It is fun. Yeah, I read it and it's full of crazy story and really hilarious. It's real fun.
I appreciate that.
We are heading towards the end of the podcast and I've got last three questions for you. What's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours?
Aha. You know, it's really fun you asked that. You know, Osho would always say, truth, beauty, good. In other words, if you're true to yourself, you will become a beautiful human being and you will simply love life. I work the opposite way. Love, beauty, truth. In other words, every day and every way, I have to start again, heading in to meet the Osho in me. I wake up in the morning needing to remember meditation and the essentials in my life. The real success is when the Osho in me talks to me in the marketplace. And I love my life. And so I wake up, you know, getting ready to share. But that doesn't mean that somebody else wants to share with me. I actually have to do my homework. I wake up and I say, who am I? And I usually come up with, I wouldn't mind starting the day with a cup of coffee.
Second question, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Oh, I love the Kundalini meditation. It's shaking for 15 minutes, dancing for 15 minutes, standing and letting that sexy energy relax. What I mean by that is when I shake, I let go of Swaram, I let go of my parents, I let go of my girlfriends, I let go of everyone. And once you let go, that dancing is very, very sexy. And at the end of the 15 minutes of dancing, Osho would say to me, you're too sexy now to meditate. Let that energy cool out. And then once you cool out, then you can lie down and become enlightened. So every day I do that meditation. So I shake, I get rid of everybody that's not me. Then I dance with myself and, you know, fall in love. And then I cool out that energy and then I lie down and say thank you.
Last question. You leave the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
It's embarrassing because I still love it. You know, sometimes people say, get a life. You know, you're still there after 45 years. But that's, gosh, for me, Zorba the Buddha is actually Buddha the Zorba. You know, meditation is not enough. And being in the marketplace is not enough. I combine the two. And you reach a point, here's a perfect example, Swaram, when somebody pushes my buttons, instead of punching them, I say thank you because I didn't know I could be so affected by your thought, you know? So for me, my Buddha, it's easy to be a Buddha. You just go in your room, go in your cave, close the door, and be alone. That, you know, but Osho would say, that's not enough. You need to go back to Boston and get a job. You know, you need to see if somebody can push your buttons. You need to see if you know what's going on today in the world, because the world is a great teacher. So that's what I do. I go to Pune and I meditate, and then I come out and lead meditations.
And that's my experience as well. Osho's message is to bring meditation into your life. He's not advocating to leave everything behind and hide in a cave. And that's much more challenging, much more difficult to be aware and meditative in an office or in a big city when you're busy.
And I congratulate you. I mean, I felt you had such a great life in London. And then one day I get an email, I'm moving to Hong Kong or Singapore. I can't remember where.
Singapore.
And that really scared me. I got scared. I said, how can they do that? They're so successful in London. And now they're trying a whole new environment. And I congratulate you and Chetna for taking a risk. And I took the same risk, but I still don't. You know, that's fun about risk. I took a risk, but I was worried for you. It's cute.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crazy decision, totally unplanned.
I'm really impressed. And you, as a team, you're fantastic.
Thank you, KT. Thank you so much. Yes. And now we are much closer to India and Pune, so we look forward to meeting you.
I like it. You know, next year is going to be a very big year in Pune, you know, because so many people are watching this wild, wild country. The young people are seeing through the movie. They're saying, yes, the friends in Oregon were insulted, but look at that 10,000 young people and their faces are shining. And the young people are saying, I need to find out for myself. So now for every 99 people that says that's the worst documentary I ever saw, Osho was not concerned for that. He was looking for the one person that could see through heaven and hell and want to make a decision for themselves. So Pune is very exciting right now with young people saying, I need to find out what this is all about.
It's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast and to interview people like you who have been with Osho, have been in Oregon, has been through all these very difficult times. Yet you are here, you're still living Pune, you are shining, your life has been transformed. So you are a real testimony of Osho's work.
Yeah, it's not like I'm sitting here saying, I'm the greatest, I did the right thing. Every day and every week I say to myself, you're 75 years old, you're still living in Pune, what kind of idiot are you? You know, and every day I come up with the same answer. I'm an idiot that loves his life.
Wonderful. That's so beautiful. And I think on this note, it's perfect to finish and conclude this podcast. It's been real great. Fun and a pleasure talking to you, KP. And
I
look
so
forward to seeing you again in India, in Pune, or somewhere else.
I like it. Thank you so much.
Bye, KP.
Bye-bye, love.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit lavoshow.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.